This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Jacobs Music Company is the proud sponsor of Between the Keys with Jed Distler. Information on any of the products or services that Jacobs Music offers is available on their website, www.jacobsmusic.com. And welcome again to Between the Keys. My name is Jed Distler. I'm the artist in residence for the Classical Network. When I announced that the name of this episode was 1,012 Notes in 12 Seconds, I started to get emails and Facebook messages asking just what was I talking about? Am I trying to set the world speed record on the piano, or am I going to play all the Chopin etudes simultaneously? I mean, what's going on here? Well, this episode is going to be about piano etudes, and we did feature etudes not too long ago. And just to remind you that a piano etude is a piece that addresses specific technical challenges, but it also can have its roots in matters of textures, dynamics, certain intervals, the creation of a certain mood, or even a tribute to a musician, such as what Robert Schumann does in his Opus 3 etudes that are based on the solo violin caprices of Paganini. You know, it's amazing how Paganini's violin virtuosity inspired all kinds of pianists and composers. Schumann's Paganini etudes, for some reason, aren't so often performed, but they do turn up on recordings. So why don't we hear the first of Schumann's Opus 3 etudes? This is a caprice in A minor, and the pianist is Lev Winokur. Pianist Lev Winokur performing the Caprice in A minor, the opening selection from Robert Schumann's Etudes after Paganini, Opus 3. We have another etude that's a tribute and a beautifully lyrical piece by Alfredo Casella. This is one of his six studies for piano. This is based on the interval of the perfect fifth. It's titled Homage to Chopin. The pianist will be Luca Ballerini. That was one of six piano etudes by Alfredo Casella, an etude in fifths titled Homage to Chopin, and it was performed by Luca Ballerini. The sixth and the last of Ferruccio Busoni's six short etudes for the cultivation of polyphonic playing is basically a note-for-note piano reduction of the scene in the finale of Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, where two men in armor sing the chorale, Ach Gott von Himmel siehe darein. A tenor and a bass sing this in unison, one octave apart. Toward the end, Busoni's own handiwork sneaks in by how he manipulates the staccato accompaniment, and you hear these little harmonic distortions that Mozart could never have done. The main challenge for the pianist in this piece is that you can't use any pedal, so that the distinctions between sustained and detached articulation have to be done by fingers alone. So let's hear this etude with the great pianist Paul Jacobs.
Thank you.
the late Paul Jacobs at the piano, playing the sixth of Busoni's Etudes for the Cultivation of Polyphonic Playing. The etude that we heard is based on a scene from the finale of Mozart's The Magic Flute. Justin Della Gioia is a composer who is able to fuse inspiration and discipline, spontaneity and the highest levels of craftsmanship into his work, and he especially does so in this concert etude that's titled Momentum. We're going to hear it performed by the pianist Garrick Olson, music by Justin Della Gioia. Thank you. Music by Justin Della Gioia, one of his two concert etudes. This one is titled Momentum, and we heard it performed by Garrick Olson. We are going to change the mood a little bit now with a charming and quite pianistically effective etude by the Brazilian composer Henrique Oswald, who lived from 1852 until, I think, 1931. It's going to be performed by Sergio Monteiro, music of Oswald. Sergio Monteiro at the piano, playing an etude in D-flat major by the Brazilian composer Henrique Oswald. The American composer Arthur Farwell, who lived from 1892 until 1952, had a long and multifaceted career as a composer, conductor, an educator, a music publisher, and also a major figure in the American Indianist movement that flourished between the 1880s and 1920s, where American composers incorporated elements of Native American music into their works. However, some of Farwell's most adventurous writing took place in his later years, particularly in his Polytonal Studies, Opus 109, from which we are going to hear the study in C minor and E flat minor combined. The pianist is Lisa Cheryl Thomas, music of Arthur Farwell.
Thank you.
Lisa Cheryl Thomas at the piano, playing the study in C minor and E flat minor from the Polytonal Studies Opus 109 by Arthur Farwell. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys. We are exploring a fairly wide range of piano etudes this hour. The American composer Conlin Nancarro devoted the bulk of his creative output to a remarkable group of studies written for the player piano. He laboriously punched the piano rolls by hand to create his etudes, and the process would take months and months, maybe even years of work to finish a piece lasting maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Yet the kinds of sonorities and incredibly elaborate rhythmic complexity that he envisioned went way beyond the capabilities of two human hands. Certainly in this study, the study number 25, which is based on sweeping arpeggios that go up and down the keyboard, and at the very end you hear as many as 1,012 notes being played in 12 seconds time with the pedal down. I wonder if that's a world record. This etude was recorded on one of Conlin Nancarro's custom-built player pianos at his Mexico City home in 1977 in the presence of the composer.
Thank you.
from Conlon Nancarrow's Studies for Player Piano, we heard the study number 25. This body of work, the Studies for Player Piano, I think encompass some of the most exhilarating and unique and inventive piano music to have emerged from the later half of the 20th century. And I think it's really, really well worth your time getting to know these pieces. I certainly feel that way myself. As you probably know, I often like to compare different pianists performing the same work. So I thought that we would do that with the shortest of Chopin's etudes, the so-called Butterfly Etude in G flat major, opus 25, number 9. It's one of Chopin's most popular pieces. Let's do some comparative listening and see what we find. I won't tell you the pianist's name until after we hear his or her recording. Here is the first. Chopin's Butterfly Etude, I thought that was a really well-performed, very clean, well-articulated performance, very discreet rubato, and a few accents to give it personal flavor, I think. That was the pianist John Browning, and that was just recently released as part of his Complete Chopin Etudes in a box set containing John Browning's complete recordings for the Columbia and RCA Victor labels. And I happen to write the booklet notes for that reissue. So here's another recording of the Butterfly Etude. Let's see what you think. Again, this was an excellent performance. Very, very precise finger work. And, you know, maybe it's slightly dry, but I think the dryness has a kind of bite to it. And the performance has great expressive economy. And also notice at the very end, at least I noticed, the pianist plays the final notes absolutely in tempo, almost deadpan, which is exactly what Chopin asks for. We heard the French pianist Jean-Marie Daré, recorded in, I believe, 1952, maybe a little later. I can't remember just the second. Okay, we are going to go back in time with some historic recordings. And in the case of the next recording, we're going to go way, 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 way back to 1907. That's 111 years ago. Think of it, the Butterfly Etude. Thank you. That was Vladimir de Pachman playing Chopin's Butterfly Etude, and he makes up his own ending, as pianists of the Romantic era, or at least some of them, tended to do. But otherwise, he plays the Etude straight and pretty briskly, and technically it's marvelous. There's none of the self-indulgence that you sometimes get in Pachman's later recordings. And you have to remember that this pianist was born in 1848, which was 1 year before Chopin died, and Pachman was around 59 at the time he made this 1907 recording. Now, here is a Butterfly Etude performance from about 20 years later. Love that performance. What a free spirit and such fantastic technique and inspiration. And did you catch that big tenuto toward the ending? That was another legendary Chopin interpreter, the great Ignaz Friedman. So we are going to jump ahead 10 years to 1937, and this is a live performance of Chopin's Butterfly Etude. Joseph Hoffman, live in 1937 at his Golden Jubilee recital at the Metropolitan Opera House. And you hear him noodling around a little bit before he launches into the Etude. And what lightness and fantastic articulation. And yeah, he does beef up the bass lines here and there, but that's okay. Let's get back to a couple of more modern recordings of the Butterfly Etude. Here's one. You know what I really liked about that performance was the pianist's scaling of the dynamics. The pianist started very softly and then built the climax with great care. And then as the piece winded down, the pianist pushed ever so slightly ahead in a somewhat lighter vein. That was the 18-year-old Maurizio Pollini, and that was from his 1960 recording of the Complete Chopin Etudes. It was made for the EMI label, but it was not released until 2011 on the Testament label. So here's another recording of the Butterfly Etude. Let's see what you think. Supple technique and lovely dabs of color in that performance, a nice brisk tempo. And out of all the performances of the Chopin Butterfly Etude that we've been hearing, I think this one is the one that really evokes the image of a butterfly scurrying around. It's playful yet elegant and very poised. And it was with one of my personal favorite among living pianists, Nelson Freire. Anyway, I hope you've been enjoying hearing excerpts from my butterfly collection, so to speak. We have been listening to comparative recordings of Chopin's Etude in G flat major, opus 25, number 9, commonly known as the Butterfly Etude. While we are on the topic of sounds of nature and birds and bees and creatures in the forest, we have Franz Liszt's concert etude Waldesrauschen, Forest Murmurs, in a fairly recent recording by the Turkish pianist Idil Biret. Thank you. pianist Edil Biret playing music of Franz Liszt, his concert etude called Waldesrauschen. She's one of the most prolific recording artists among pianists, and I've been lately immersing myself in this big box set that contains her complete studio recordings, along with a lot of live material. It's a collection of 130 CDs and 4 DVDs, and I have to review it for Gramophone pretty soon, and I kind of feel like I'm climbing Mount Everest. Here is a fast and furious and swashbuckling performance of Rachmaninoff's F-sharp minor Etude Tableau from his Opus 39 group. The pianist is Andrei Gavrilov. Now, that was a piano performance loaded for bear, where the pianist can't wait to bolt from the starting gate. That certainly sounds like that. Andrei Gavrilov performing Rachmaninoff's Etude Tableau in F-sharp minor, Opus 39, number 3. And with that, we bring our All Etudes program to a close here on Between the Keys. This program is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Visit our website, WWFM.org, to access webcasts of past Between the Keys episodes whenever you want to listen to them, and also for weekly episode updates, which you also can find on my Between the Keys Facebook page. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and I hope we will be together next week at this time for Between the Keys. Until then, stay well, be civil, and please be kind.